We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Spoke about the concept of a rainmaker. A rainmaker is someone who produces at a level far higher than the average person. A rainmaker produces so much that they are not just successful for themselves, they produce so much that everyone around them benefits from their life. They aren't just blessed, they are a blessing. There are four levels of life. Pastor Kevin talked about this last week. Survival, stability, success, and significance. Rainmakers operate at the highest levels of success and significance. We also talked about drought. Drought is bad. In a series called Rainmakers, drought is bad. All right? Drought is lack. Drought is poverty. It is want, and it is death. Rain, however, represents blessing. And we know that God is the only one who gives the rain. Look at somebody, tell them, God is the only one that gives the rain. All right? Here is the key to receiving that rain. Leviticus 26:3. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and ye shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. That's the key. Today, I want to give you a profile of a rainmaker. We're going to key off the story of the widow's oil in 2 Kings chapter 4. So if you got your Bible with you or your iPhone, you can go ahead and click over there. We're going to be reading in a little bit. You want to talk about drought. This woman, this widow, is experiencing drought. We opened with that video bumper of Phil Collins singing, I Wish It Would Rain. This is how the widow absolutely felt. Her husband, a prophet of God, has recently passed away. I want you to take a moment, think about that pain. Have you ever lost someone close to you? Now it's your husband. It's not just someone in your life that's close to you, but it's also someone that's your spiritual authority. She is totally in drought over this. Second, she is in so much debt, a creditor is coming to take her two boys as slaves. The next time you complain about how much debt you're in, I want you to turn to 2 Kings chapter 4, because she was about to lose her sons to slavery over this debt. You didn't know that was an option, brother? It is. I don't know what the going rate is, but it is. These two boys are going to be taken as slaves. That's much worse than somebody repoing your flat screen TV. Would you agree? All right. This woman is in drought. In a short time, everything she holds dear will have been taken from her. On the levels of life, she is barely surviving. She could use some rain. Look at somebody and say, she could use some rain. She cries out to the prophet Elisha about her lack, her poverty, the death of her husband, the soon coming loss of her two boys. This family needs a rainmaker. The now deceased husband, he might have been a rainmaker. After all, he was a prophet of God, right? But now he's gone. We see a family that needs someone to be a rainmaker, to loose the blessing of God down on them. Let me tell you this, there is room in our families for more than one rainmaker. I've seen it happen far too many times in families where everyone looks to the dad, and the dad should be the priest of that home, but he shouldn't be the only rainmaker in that home. I believe mom and dad both ought to be rainmakers. I believe that we ought to be raising children up to be rainmakers, conduits of blessing. Do you believe that? The widow cries out to the prophet, hoping he can fix this problem. Now, we all know Elisha is no slouch. If you want to read about crazy miracles, you just read about Elisha. He's got crazy miracles. Maybe she's thinking he can whip up a crazy miracle for me. So 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 2, Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you?" She's just told this sob story. And he replies, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha wants to help. He asks her what she has in her house. And this is kind of a strange question. You just heard this sob story, lost her husband, about to lose her two kids. And like, okay, I want to help. Hey, what do you have in your house? I imagine she could have been a little frustrated at this point. Well, let me see. Oh, you're right. I do have a pile of money somewhere in my house. I forgot about that. Thanks, Elisha. No, I have nothing. Who are you? That's how I imagine it goes. She's frustrated with that problem. But out of nowhere, she goes, "Wait, I have nothing." And then she remembers, "Except I have a little oil, a small jar of olive oil." Sometimes we are so blinded by our need that we forget what we already have. We forget about that little bit of oil. That little measure of oil is central to the story. It is so easy to look past. It is so easy to discount your little bit of oil, but do not look past it. That oil, it was the last thing this family had left. But we got nothing except a small jar of olive oil. They were surviving. Say surviving. They were surviving on that oil. Here's my question to you today. What are you using to survive? Are you using something to survive? What is it? Find it today. Before this day's over, I want you to know front and center, this is what I'm surviving on. Okay? God wants to use what you are surviving on as a source to bring stability, success, and significance. He wants to use what you're surviving on not to just help you survive, but to take you to the very top of the levels of life. That's what God wants you to do. That's the first point I want you to get. So I'm going to read it again in case you were thinking about the Cowboys who won today. Yay. God wants to use what you are surviving on as a source to bring stability, success, and significance. She could have taken that oil and used it for cooking. You use oil for that. You could also use it for lamp fuel so you have light at night, so you're not just stumbling around in the dark. And that would have helped. She could have used it for that, Joseph. That would have helped. It would have helped her survive a little bit. She could have cooked with it, seen things at night. When we are in survival mode, this is how we use things. We use them to survive. They get used up, and we search for something else to survive on. I'm going to tell you some suggestions on this, and this could get ugly. Some people survive on that new relationship feeling. Then it gets used up, and they have to find someone else. And they feel like they aren't surviving without that feeling, without that new person beside them. Right, dear? What? I don't know what that means. It gets very desperate when you have to survive on the latest check from your employer. You get that check and you cling to every penny that is in there, but eventually it's going to be gone all too soon and you're left counting the days to the next Friday. Have you ever been there? That's survival, right? Someone with an addiction is basically trying to survive. It's a strange way to survive. They're laying in a gutter strung out, but they are, believe you me, they are trying their best to survive. They're trying to escape their painful reality, so they cling to their addiction. But eventually, their source is going to run out. Eventually, their source isn't going to take them to the high that it used to. And so they're going to need to find something greater to survive on. This is surviving. This is drought, and it's nasty, and it's no good for you. And God loves you. He wants more for you. So what are you using to survive? If you use it yourself, it will be used up all too soon. But if you give that little bit of oil to God, it will become a source of blessing. If you give what you're surviving on to God, it's going to bless you. There was a woman in the New Testament who came to a well to get water. She's known as the woman at the well. How's that for a name? She goes to get water, and she runs into Jesus. This is in John chapter 4, verse 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Listen up, rainmakers. You can cling to that next drink of water, and you can survive a little bit longer. You can take that thirst away from a little bit longer. You can maybe survive a day or two, a little bit longer, because you had that drink of water. But you will get thirsty again. Jesus, however, he offers you a water that you taste of, and you never thirst again. Never thirst again. But even more than that, as awesome as that is, we're talking about being a rainmaker here. He talks about life-giving water will start flowing from you like a spring into eternal life. He's not just, you just have a drink of water and then you're good for the rest of your life. He actually says, when you take drink of this water, you will then become a source of that water. This water is a blessing, and it will bless you, but you aren't just blessed by it. You become a blessing wherever you go. That water starts welling up to eternal life. Here's another story. There's a little boy with a little lunch. You know where I'm going? There's a huge crowd of 5,000 hungry people. This little boy could have eaten the meal as himself, right? He had a little meal. He could have eaten it himself. Or maybe he was a humanitarian. Maybe the little boy could have taken it upon himself to feed those closest to him. There's hungry people out here. Oh my, I need to do something. He could have rationed the fish and bread to help others survive a little longer. And it would have helped. I'm not arguing today it was fruitless. But I'm telling you, it wouldn't have gone very far. There still would have been a lot of hungry people. However, when he put that same meal into the hands of Jesus, all 5,000 people were fed, and they were fed good. There was no rationing. All 5,000 people were fed. They had more baskets of leftovers than the original basket. That's just how God works when you're a rainmaker. You take this little bit, and it is more than enough to meet every need. And you're left with more than you began. That's our good God. You can take your time. You can take your energy. You can take your money. You can take whatever you have, and you can do some good with it out in this world. Maybe you get on the internet and you search for the best cause near you. There's all kinds of causes out in the world, everything from feed the children to save the whales. And I'm not going to argue that you won't do any good. You will do some good with your time, money, and your energy. But how far will it go? I just want to tell you, if you gave that same time, energy, and money and put it into the hands of Jesus Christ, if you took your time, your money, and your energy and put it in his hands, it would go very far. It would go beyond what you think it would do. I'm talking about abundance here. If you want abundance, do you know where to put what you're surviving on? You put what you're surviving on into the hands of Jesus, because John 10:10 says, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm going to try that again. I'm going to push for 100% participation. That they might have it more abundantly. Very good. I'm going to ask you the same question that the prophet asked the widow. What do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? We need to take inventory of what's in our house, of what is within arm's reach. This oil was the first thing she could think of besides nothing. This oil she had looked past. She had looked past this oil, and it was instrumental in saving her sons. We are often quick to say there is nothing in our house. There's nothing we can do. There's no way we can change the situation. But rarely is that really true. There is always something you can do. When problems come, we usually go into panic mode. At least I do. Raise your hand if you go into panic mode when problems come. We think we need to search out the solution, and we better hurry. Panic mode. We need to find the answer. We need to locate what we've been lacking. We say to ourselves, I need to add the answer to my problem. I'm right here, and this is not enough. I need to add something to this situation. This is a surefire way to live a life that merely survives. God wants to bring you into stability, success, and significance. God does things different. You all ought to say amen on that. God does things different than, say, your normal Hollywood action adventure fantasy film. Perhaps you'll recognize a storyline like this. There is a villain, and there's only one way to kill him. Unfortunately, that one thing that can kill him is on the other side of the world. It's hidden in the darkest cave, and it's guarded by a dangerous dragon. Maybe you all recognize this. There's this ring, and it's kind of evil. The only way we can destroy it is by traveling all the way across Middle Earth, nerd, until we reach this crazy mountain, and we must climb this crazy mountain, which turns out to be a volcano, and throw the ring into the fire. God is different than all of this. He doesn't send you on some long, epic journey across the universe to find the item you need. He uses what is already on the scene. He uses what you already have in your hand, what you already have in your house. And Elisha knew this. That's why he asked. Here's an example of that. You have Moses. Moses needs to liberate an entire nation. It would have been nice to have an army. Would you agree? All Moses needed was what was in his hand. It was a shepherd's rod. He held it out, and the Red Sea parted. He used what was in his hand. All David needed was the slingshot that was already in his hand to kill that giant Goliath. In fact, somebody tried to clothe him. Saul tried to clothe him with the king's armor, and David refused. He said, I don't need that. I got this. You also have a guy named Gideon. Gideon, all he needed was just a few household items, and he defeated an entire army. He had a horn, he had a clay pitcher, and he had a lamp. Household items, but that was all he needed. This widow was staring her miracle in the face, and she never knew it. You listen to that. That miracle was staring her right in the face. It was within arm's reach. Could you be staring your miracle right in the face today? The prophet knew the answer was in the house. So I ask you, take inventory. What's in your house today? He didn't ever ask how much is in your house. We usually get caught up with the amount. It's not about the amount. A rainmaker knows it's not about our supply. It's about God's supply. A rainmaker isn't ashamed to reach into the cabinet for that little bit of oil that is left and trust God with it. What do you have lying around in your cupboard right now? Maybe you have some knowledge. I think a lot of times we overlook what we know to be true. You have some of that stored up in you, and that is important. What you know to be true about God means everything. If you just have that lying around and you're not acting on it, you're really missing out. Maybe you know about prayer. Maybe you know godly principles like forgiving other people. I hate to see Christians that know that principle but then don't act on it. That's in your cupboard. Why don't you pull that out and use that? Maybe you haven't acted on some knowledge yet. You haven't taken that important step of being baptized. If you know you need to be baptized, what are you waiting for? Get baptized. If you haven't trusted God with your giving, your tithes, and your offerings, and if you sat in this church for very long, you know that information. It is no mystery to you. It has been clearly revealed to you time after time. The importance of where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. We've told you this time and time again. If you still haven't acted on it, it's like leaving the oil in the cupboard. These things are key to becoming a rainmaker today. I was privileged to be at Connect Group this last Wednesday, and we have had such a great time studying conflict resolution. Most people go, oh, conflict resolution, that sounds terrible. It is one of the best, most awesome things we've ever talked about at Connect Group. And somebody opened up, and I'm not going to even say who they are because what's said at Connect Group stays at Connect Group. We don't share who this is, but we're going to give their testimony. They were talking about a conflict that they were having in their life, and they were arguing, and it was a bad argument. But then somebody dropped to their knees and said, I think we should pray. And suddenly what was a conflict, suddenly what was an argument became a prayer meeting. And God showed up right in the midst of that prayer meeting. And where was the conflict all of a sudden? There was no conflict. There was peace all of a sudden. There was love all of a sudden. You know what that is? That's somebody saying, I got something in the house. I got some prayer in the house. I know how to handle this situation. I'm not going to go into panic mode. I'm not going to survive in this anguish. I am going to go to the source. I am going to reach back, and I'm going to pray. And they prayed together, and that was their testimony. That is a great testimony. Maybe that could be your testimony. You have to take inventory. Maybe you have a dream or a passion that you've never acted on. Maybe you felt the call to serve others, to be more involved in the kingdom of God, to be more involved in this faith community. If you don't act on these callings, what are you doing? You're going to keep surviving. Quit waiting for your success to come to you. Well, you know, I'll take that next step when I win the lottery or when something else happens, when this happens, I'll take that next step. And you're waiting for that success to come to you to take that next step. God wants you to know it's already in the house. It's already in the house, and you're waiting on it. That woman, the widow, she was really waiting on a stack of money. God didn't give her a stack of money. He used what was already in the house. A rainmaker is going to step out on the little they do have and see Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 happen. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably, say immeasurably, more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us. Somebody say, it's in the house. God is going to take that little you have, and he will do immeasurably with it. He will do immeasurable things with what you have. It's the power that he has placed inside of you. It's not outside of you. It is within you. It is in your house. You don't have to go look for it. It's in you. Rainmakers don't have all the answers. I don't mean to say all this to make you think, oh, well, they must have it all together. They aren't perfect. They haven't figured everything out. They mess up sometimes. But rainmakers know where to turn. They trust and obey God. They know the promises of Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season. That word if is right there at the beginning. If you trust and obey God, if you walk in his statutes, if you keep his commandments and do them, then he gives rain. A rainmaker simply knows that. It doesn't mean they've got everything figured out. In fact, rainmakers are going to run into problems. They aren't better than everyone else. They aren't smarter than everyone else. They simply know who to turn to, who to trust and obey. Let's look at the rest of this story. 2 Kings chapter 4, 3 through 6. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. Then the oil stopped flowing. They needed to trust and obey. They gathered as many vessels as they could. They didn't ask for just a few. They knew they only had a little oil, but they gathered as many containers as they could. That sounds like faith to me. I want you to remember, God wants to use what you are surviving on as a source to bring stability, success, and significance. And I want you to remember, we should take inventory, because God is going to use something in-house. And this is the final thing I'm going to bring you today. You need to prepare to contain the blessing, and you need to keep pouring. The prophet told them to pour and not stop. They would simply move the containers as she was pouring. They didn't even worry about spilling some excess. Fill this one up, move it, get another one, and the spout is just continually pouring. And it kept pouring until every last jar was filled. The oil stopped pouring when there were no more vessels to fill. If you really want to see abundant rainfall, you need to prepare space for the blessing. You need to get some vessels lined up. God has so much abundance that he wants to pour out in your life, but you must make room. You must make room for that abundance. In a short time, I'm going to open up this altar. And if you will come to this altar as an empty vessel, the God who is more than enough will fill you to overflowing. The trouble is, sometimes we come to God not wanting abundance. And that sounds silly. That sounds ridiculous. But our actions do it time and time again. Sometimes we come to a worship service only wanting a little bit of God's presence, just enough to feel okay about ourselves, or just enough to get through the next tough days. I'm going through something really hard, so I'll go to church this Sunday. You know, if God completely filled our lives with everything he had, we might need to make some changes. So maybe we just settle for just a little oil. That sounds a lot like survival. to me. The prophet told the widow, don't stop pouring. God wants to give you more than you need to survive. Now here's the deal. She could have stopped pouring. She could have reached that point that said, okay, I have enough to pay for both of my sons. I can pay the creditor and I get my sons back. Stop pouring. She could have done that. And you could do that today. You could come to this place and you could just get enough and then you could stop. But the prophet told her, don't stop pouring. And she kept pouring till every vessel, every jar, anything that would hold oil, she poured it in there. And then the oil stopped itself. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 4 that not only did she have enough to pay off her debts, to pay off all of her debts, she and her sons had enough to live on for the rest of their life. That's the power of creating a vessel and letting God fill it, not stopping him from pouring, and you yourself not stopping from pouring. Vessels really are a lot like people. We could really make that analogy very clearly. You've got some vessels in your family. You aren't the only vessel in your family. It's not all about you. You have other vessels in your family. And not only should you get filled, but you ought to pour into other vessels in your family. Can I get an amen on that? This is the promise Pastor Kevin talked about last week. Leviticus 26:5. Your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Basically, what's being said here in Leviticus is if you keep his commandments, if you walk in his statutes, you're going to be covered. You're going to have more than enough. Your threshing is going to reach your vintage. There's not going to be an overlap of time where you go, what am I going to do? Just like the widow with that oil. Somebody needs to get their vessels lined up today and invite God to make it rain. Oh, I just want to tell you, I really thought about leaving this out. I'm going to go for it. I want to tell you what I find most frustrating about ministry. The most frustrating thing I see in ministry is not having the vessels lined up. It really does rain at Redemption Church. And we're so thankful to see God pour out his Spirit in this place. And he does it house to house at small group meetings during the week, but God reigns in this house. And let me tell you, I work in this church. That's God. God's the one that gives the rain. We work really hard. Pastor Kevin preaches his guts out. I'm over there sweating on keys, and Scott's running around being a youth pastor. But let me tell you, it is God that makes it rain in this house. What is frustrating is seeing lives in drought, barely surviving, families in turmoil, and lives unfulfilled sitting idly by when God has so much more for them. I really hate to look out at this congregation and be looking for someone I know who's really going through a tough time. They are the very picture of drought and surviving, and looking for them in the house of the Lord and not seeing them. On this day where oil is being poured out, on this very day that I'm talking to you, there are some people that aren't lined up in this house to receive what God has for them. And that is frustrating to me in ministry. But I tell you what I love about ministry. I'm about to open these altars up, but I'd like to talk to you about some lined up vessels. There's some people in this church that you convict me every time you come to this altar, every time you lift your hands in honor and praise to God. I'm talking about people to come to this altar alone because they don't have anyone else lined up beside them in their home. I'm talking, we've got some young people in this church that they come to church all by themselves. They look for rides. They ask for rides. They find any way they can get to this house because no one in their family is going to come bring them today. You know that? That's a vessel that's lined up all alone. I want to speak to some of those vessels. I want to speak to John Corley. John Corley started coming on his own. He came because someone brought him, and he just lined up his vessel in this house, not even knowing what was going on. But he just kept coming to this altar, and the Lord of rain, the God of blessing, just started pouring into his life. That's the kind of person I'm talking about. Now we have a guy named Austin. When John Corley comes to this altar, he's no longer a vessel alone. He brings another vessel with him, and he's brought his brother Austin with him. And as he's praying for the God of all glory to rain down in his life, so is his brother. I want to speak to you, man. You keep pouring. You keep showing up to the house of God. Keep showing up to this house. God's going to pour out rain. Before too long, you're going to have more vessels. We have Becca right here on the front row. Becca, you're a vessel God wants to pour into you. I want to talk to you deep. God, you are a vessel that God wants to pour into. God wants to pour into your life. He wants to bring you blessing. He wants you to bring you a lot more than just a fancy new set of clothes and a flat screen TV. He wants to bless you. He wants to bring joy. He wants to bring peace to you. Do you believe that today, Redemption Church? For that very reason, we open up this altar every week. Because we sing you a nice song and we preach you a very good sermon. But ultimately, we know if you can get lined up, that the oil will start pouring and God himself will pour, and he won't pour. He won't stop pouring until every vessel is filled. I want you to just take one moment. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to prepare your heart to come to this altar today. I want you to get that thing that you're surviving on. I want you to get it front and center. What have you been acting like is so important in your life that it is actually your survival? Get that thing in front of you. And I want to challenge you today to put that in the hands of Jesus. Like that young boy with the fish and bread, he put that in the hands of Jesus. I want you to put that in the hands of Jesus today. I want you to realize that God has called you for more than survival. He has called you to more than bad relationships. He's called you to more than depression. He's called you for so much more than that. He's called you for more than poverty. I want you to take inventory, because that thing is in your house. It's in your hand. Now I want you to stand. I want you to come to this altar today as an yielded vessel to him, as an open vessel, and just invite him to pour into you. I would love for you to gather with your family in this altar. You can go ahead and come now, but I want you to gather in this altar. I want you to pray together in this altar. I want you to pray that not only God will pour out into your life, but he will pour out into the lives of those around you. If you see someone today that's lining up as a solo vessel and they're all alone, why don't you invite them to pray with you? Why don't you bring them, line up beside me? God's about to pour out into our lives. Come on, why don't we pray in this house right now? If you want special prayer in this place, you just come right up here. We will pray with you.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.